Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
I'm going to start with a little scripture this morning. Is that okay with y'all? All right. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 15 at verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, "Give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomachs with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied. 'Your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in." A little jealousy there, maybe. "So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed you. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered all his property with prostitutes, has come home, you've killed the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" As I read this passage, I was thinking, nobody here has probably ever heard this passage before, right? It's brand new to you. This parable, the prodigal son, you've never heard it. You've never experienced it, right? Let's face it, this parable is probably one of the most familiar ones in the church. Even people outside the church have heard this, or at least heard about it. If you mention the prodigal son, they have a little bit of idea about it. And I know many of you probably sat in a Sunday school class where this has been taught. You probably heard many, many sermons on the story of the prodigal son. There's a whole lot of stuff in there, right? Whole lot of stuff. We could go in many, many, many directions this morning with that. We could talk about how the youngest son rejected the father. You ever heard a sermon on that? Mm-hmm. We could talk about how the youngest son's downward spiral. I mean, for a Jewish man to be feeding pigs, that was unheard of. We could talk about how the youngest son's eyes were open to the troubles he was bringing upon himself. If you're like me, you've had to have that conversation with yourself. You've seen troubles you bring upon yourself at some point. We could talk about his return to the father. We could talk about how his father received his long-lost son. or maybe the older brother's jealousy. But you've probably all heard sermons and all that already, right? So let's do something different. Let's go in a little bit different direction. Let's give our imaginations a little bit of a workout today. Anybody here got an imagination? Amen. All right. Three of you. So it might be a struggle for the rest of you. Think with me for a minute. If you didn't know anything about Jesus, if you'd never even heard of church, you didn't know this book, the Bible, even existed. If you don't know any of that, what would the story of the prodigal son mean to you? This parable that Jesus told, what would it mean to you? I mean, it'd be a nice story, but it would have no depth to it. It'd have no depth. It just wouldn't mean very much, right? It's a nice little story about this father forgiving his son and all that, but you know what? Without knowing God, what does it mean? You wouldn't be able to connect the father in the story with God the Father. You just wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to see our story in our returning to God parallel to the son returning to the father. It just wouldn't make any sense. It would just be a nice little story that you'd probably soon forget. You ever heard a story and 20 minutes later you can't remember what they said to you? But Jesus spoke in parables quite often. This confused a lot of people. You ever been confused by a parable when you read it? Mm-hmm. It confused a lot of people. People didn't know what he was talking about. They couldn't understand these parables. Even the disciples of Jesus had struggles with this. There was times they couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. In Matthew chapter 13, they even asked Jesus. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." It's been given to you, but not to them. That may sound a little odd. It might even sound a little mean. Doesn't sound a little mean when Jesus says, "Hey, I'm giving this to that, you, but we ain't giving it to them." That might sound a little mean. He's not sharing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven with everyone. But it's not because he didn't want to. It's because we weren't ready for it. These people just weren't ready for it. They weren't ready to receive the word. Let me explain where I'm going with that, okay? How many of you have ever picked up a Bible and read some of it? Nobody. Okay, two. Woo! Is this microphone on? Okay. How many of y'all have ever picked up a Bible and read some of it, right? Yeah. Most of you. How many of you have truly understood every single word you've read? Okay, nobody. That's good. I didn't want to have to preach online. So, you haven't been able to understand every single word in here. And that's okay. That's okay. Have you ever read something in the Bible and you've read it and years later you read it again and you're like, boom, now I understand what they're saying. Yeah. It's a big, complex book. It's a big, complex book. It takes a while to read through the whole thing. If you've ever tried to do the read through the Bible in a year, you miss a day, you may be a month late on it. So if we, after reading the Bible over and over and over again, have trouble understanding what it's saying, can you imagine how the people that were living it at that moment, how much trouble they probably had understanding? So don't beat yourself up. If you're having trouble understanding what was written in the Bible, don't beat yourself up. You're not alone. You're not alone. We can wrestle with it. We all wrestle with it, right? When you read, you wrestle with it. And you know what? It's good to wrestle with it. Yes. Because when you're wrestling with it, when you finally get what he's trying to say, boom. It the light comes on and it has so much more meaning. So much more meaning. So if you're struggling to understand the Bible, you're in a really good place. You're in a really good place. And you're certainly not alone. But part of our problem is we try and figure it out all on our own. We try and figure it out. We read the Bible in isolation and we think about it ourselves. And we get stumped. We can get stumped. I've been there. I read, it's like, oh, really? I don't know what you're trying to say to me. Put it on the shelf. But it's not meant to be figured out by yourself. The Bible is not meant for you to just figure it out all on your own. Think about it like this, all right? The Bible was written by human hands. Yes. It was written by human hands. God did not sit down on his laptop and type out the Bible. Although I bet if he did, his laptop would have never crashed on him and never had to reboot it. He didn't dictate it to a scribe. God inspired the writing of Scripture. Yes. You read my notes. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to write what they wrote. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired, and is useful for the teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of this book, don't you think that the Holy Spirit would also inspire your reading of it?
Amen.
Yeah, of course. The Holy Spirit's going to inspire your reading of the Bible. If he inspired the reading, how else are we going to understand it unless he's inspired us our reading of it? How else? How else would I understand what's written in here without the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Be a lot of nice stories and poetry and stuff, but So yeah, you can spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours reading the Bible. You can memorize all four Gospels. You can memorize the first five books of the Old Testament, but to truly understand it, you're going to need help. You're going to need help.
Amen.
And that help comes from the Holy Spirit. He will help you understand it.
Amen. That's right.
He will help you understand it. He's not going to leave you hanging. He will inspire your understanding. But he's only going to give you what you need when you need it. This might sound disrespectful, but I compare, and I talked to Tom about this a couple weeks ago, I compare the Bible to a jack-in-the-box. To a jack-in-the-box. Yeah. You know what a jack-in-the-box is?
It's a flash.
You go, yeah, it's a toy. A little toy little kids use, right? But think about it like this. Jack-in-the-box, you go round and round and round. Bible, you read and you read and you read. And then something pops. It's like, oh, I get it now. I get it now. All right? Like I said, that might have sounded a little disrespectful to compare it to a child's toy, but it's an analogy I could think of. But he will give you what you need when you need it. Have you ever heard of insider trading? Insider trading in the stock market. It's illegal, so don't do it. Don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. It's illegal because the person has insider information about what the company is doing that they're buying and selling stock in. They may know what contracts are coming up. They may know what deals they're trying to make, and they can buy and sell stock and make a ton of profit illegally. So don't do it. I'm going to put that in there. Don't do it. They'll make a ton of profit with this illegal insider information. But we have insider information that is legal.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit inspiring our reading of this book.
Amen. That's right.
It don't get no better than that.
Amen.
And through this, we will profit greatly.
Yes.
Not financially. I'm not teaching that. I'm not preaching about that. But we will have a great profit when we understand what God's trying to say to us. But there's one problem that we run into sometimes with this. All right? When we start to understand what this book's teaching us, when we start to get it, and sometimes we get a little impatient with those who don't. Sometimes we forget that others just don't understand it. Sometimes we can even get angry at people that don't understand it.
Yes.
Y'all getting quiet. That's good. Let me explain it like this. All right? Have you ever had a conversation with another Christian about what people are doing in this world that you know this thing teaches you is wrong? Yeah. Have you ever got mad when having that conversation? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we can, can't we? We can, one or both of you can get mad when, oh, don't they know that the Bible says that's wrong? Don't they know that this says you can't do that? You can't live like that? Yeah, we just get mad at the sin. y'all funny. We got some comedians in this house. But that's the problem. They don't know what this says. Okay? They don't know that the Bible says something's wrong if they've never picked it up or never been inspired. You see, here's where I'm probably going to make someone mad. Okay? And that's okay. This book does not have authority over everybody that walks this earth. This book does not have authority over people living outside of God's will. Oh. People got quiet. But, see, they don't understand it. They don't understand it because they give it no authority. And if they give it no authority, then the Holy Spirit's not working through them to understand it.
Amen.
They don't give, this is just another book. It's like, whoop. Okay, I don't need it. That's what they think. Okay? There are many people in this world that the Bible just has no authority because they don't give it authority in their lives. They don't give the Bible authority because they don't understand it. Okay? It's not been that long ago that I was living that life. Okay? I was living apart from Jesus. It's not even been 11 years ago since I went to the altar. Okay? I was living apart from God, living apart from Jesus. When I heard the church said, this is a sin, that's a sin, this is a sin, that's a sin, I thought, hogwash. Okay? Because the Bible had no authority in my life. So I thought the church was just making up all this stuff because I didn't realize it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I didn't realize that my understanding of it also had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. People living apart from God have to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. But how can that happen? Here, I'll pick this up before somebody gets mad. How can that happen? How can people get inspired by the Holy Spirit? How about Romans 10 and starting at 14? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them?
Amen.
How can anyone preach unless they are sent? And you know, a few years ago, Pastor Joe preached a series on the sent. We are the sent.
Right.
Okay? Yes, Pastor Joe, I do listen to your messages. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. Y'all got beautiful feet this morning?
Yes,
all right. Yep, they need someone to point them to Jesus.
Yes.
So they can begin to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to read and begin to understand what the Bible is saying. They need someone to teach them, to point them to that. The job of the church is to point others to Christ. Not to tell them how bad of a sinner they are. That's not our job. Now, if you want to beat someone down and push them away from Christ, tell them how bad they're living, how ugly their life is. Yeah, you know? Tell them everything they've ever done wrong and see how quickly they want to start coming to church with you. It's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. You ever done that? No, don't raise your hand. But if you show people who Jesus is by loving them into a relationship with Christ,
amen,
then you'll see a change.
Amen.
Then you'll start to see a change. That change isn't coming from you, but it's coming from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be inspiring them to understanding. It's not my job to change people.
That's right.
Amen.
It's not my job to tell others how badly they're messing up. It's not my job to show others their sin. And it's not your job either. That belongs to the Holy Spirit. He will inspire their reading and understanding of the Bible. That's His job. That's His job. He will inspire them to their reading and understanding of life, of the life that God wants for each and every one of us. When people are living outside of God's will, they may not even know it because they don't give it any authority. But how will they believe in Jesus if we don't show them Jesus? How will their lives be changed if we don't help them to meet the one who can change their lives?
Right. Yes.
That's our part of it.
Yes.
But we need to stay in our lane. Pick a lane, right? Pick a lane. We need to stay in our lane and let the Holy Spirit do His work, do His job.
Amen.
Otherwise, we'll get in His way and we'll push people away from Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we read and we criticize the Pharisees, how they dealt with people, how they you know, you read, I think it's Matthew 23, you read that chapter, and they're talking about all these things that the Pharisees do that block people from the kingdom of heaven. Church, we don't want to do that.
That's right.
We don't want to do that. So we don't want to push people away, but we want to bring people closer. We want to be able to let people be inspired by the Holy Spirit by showing them who Jesus is. Not who He was, but who He is.
Amen.
Jesus is alive. So I'm going to close with a couple questions. Do you want to go deeper with Jesus this year?
Amen. Yes.
Then go deeper in the Word. Do you want to go deeper in the Word?
Yes.
Then pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire your reading of the Word. Do you want to see change in people around you?
Amen.
Then loving them, lovingly introduce them to Jesus. The Bible says the Word is the sword of the Spirit. Don't use that sword to hack people to pieces that are already hurt. Love them.
Yes.
Then the Holy Spirit will inspire them to go deeper with Jesus. And to go deeper in the Word. With that, I'm going to close in prayer. And I just want to pray over each and every one. If anyone wants to approach the altar and pray for more inspiration from the Scripture, that the Holy Spirit will inspire your understanding of the Bible, then feel free. Father God, Lord, we come to You right now, Lord. You have inspired our understanding, Lord. The Word has been inspired by the Holy Spirit and given to us, may not have been written directly to us, but it's written for us, Lord. For us to grow closer to you, to have a deeper understanding, a deeper relationship with Jesus. Father, help us to be more inspired when we read the Bible. Teach us to understand what you're trying to say to us, Lord, and how to apply it to our lives, Lord. Give us the wisdom, not just the knowledge of your word, but the wisdom on how to use it. Father God, we're asking for you to shine into our lives and into the lives of those around us. Help us this day to meet you where we're at and to allow you to move us closer to your heart, Lord. Let us be the center of your will, Lord. Let it not be about our will, but about yours. Help us to go deeper in the word and help us to go deeper with Jesus. May your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.